Today, we're actually concerned about two things at St. James, as we heard in the notices. One is the APCM, where we did select a new group for the PCC, at least replace some of them. And also, we appoint other people. We're also looking for the ongoing process of selecting a new minister. And we've got the date for the interviews now. So what I thought I ought to cover today was the subject of governance. That's the subject of how an organisation is run. Look at some basic biblical principles. What does God suggest in the Bible as how organisations should be run? We can start with Moses and the children of Israel. He sort of had to start from scratch and discover how to do things the difficult way, which is by making mistakes and finding out the better way of doing it. Then we look at the early church and how that was run. And that comes really very much from Jesus and his selection of the apostles. But hopefully these basic biblical principles will guide our thinking as we think about the APCM and also as we prepare for the appointment of a new minister, whenever that's going to be, we don't know. So we start with Moses and the advice his father-in-law Jethro gave him. Remember in Exodus chapter 2, Moses ran away from Egypt after killing the Egyptian. And he ended up in Midian, and he met the priest of Midian, Jethro, who married one of his daughters. So when Moses eventually led the children of Israel out of Egypt and camped at a place called Rephidim, his father-in-law, Jethro, came to see him. He gave him some very wise advice, as we read earlier. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. Work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." Jethro suggested that Moses could not do things on his own. He had to have a group of people around him. So he suggested that he appoint a group of judges. Verse 21. "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. Appoint them as officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens." So he had a sort of group of people who were working with him. They need to fear God and be trustworthy. They need to be carefully selected. But the judges effectively acted as a council who were able to support Moses in his work. So I think the key lesson to start with from this passage is that one person can't do everything. We need to share the work amongst them. I hope that when we appoint a new minister that he will realise that there's plenty of talent in this church, and that he needs to use this talent and not do everything himself, some leaders perhaps tend to do. So the work of leadership must be shared with others, verses 22 and 23. "Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, and have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain. All these people will go home satisfied." So it is God-given, but it's also very practical. We don't have to wear ourselves out, because we can share the work between many different people. So as we look to appoint a new minister for St. James, we must not expect them to take over everything. They need our support in the work of the leadership. Obviously, it's the church wardens and the PCC who share that work directly, but I think all of us must be involved in helping and supporting. There are two other lessons I wanted to draw from this passage. First is in Exodus 18:20. "Teach them decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform." We need training. We need to be taught the best way of doing things. This is especially true of people in leadership positions. Hopefully the minister who gets appointed will have had college training. He'll have gone through the whole ordination training process. The second point is in, again, going back to 22. "Have them serve as judges to the people at all times. Have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves." The judges are allowed a degree of autonomy. They can make their own decisions. They're allowed to deal with the more straightforward cases by themselves. I think, again, we don't give somebody a position and then insist on following everything that they decide. We need that sense of autonomy, that sense of freedom to do things the right way. In terms of teaching, I always found the book of Exodus particularly a little bit random. You get all sorts of laws coming in from all different directions, and you wonder why. Doesn't seem to be a logical sequence. I think I have an explanation. It's only my suggestion. I think that Moses had regular meetings with the judges as the people of Israel travelled around Sinai. They had 40 years to do it, so they probably had lots of conversations. I think the judges brought issues to Moses. Moses prayed about it and made a judgment on that issue, and then wrote it down. So basically, what we're getting is a sequence of ideas that these judges either met as they were talking to the people they were working with, or actually perhaps they said, well, what happens if? And Moses found an answer and wrote it down so they could refer to it later. So this is on-the-job training, as it were. They worked it out as they went along, but they learned from it and they gained experience. I think as we go to the New Testament, we can find there's a very similar sort of thing. Particularly Jesus, when he appointed his disciples, he had basically formed his own council of 12 people. Just to quote Luke 6, 12 and 13. One of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So Jesus had a large number of followers, but he chose 12 to be his council, as it were. Although Jesus was the Son of God, first of all, he spent a night in prayer. He talked to God and discovered which of the people he would choose, who were the right people to form this council, as it were, this group of apostles. And I think, again, we need to come to God all the time and make sure that we know what his will is for the people he wants to choose. Again, we go through this process of interview and appointment, but very much under God's guidance, under God's direction to appoint a minister. But also, I hope at the APCM that we'll be praying and looking to God's guidance and direction as we appoint the PCC. Apostles seem to be a rather mixed bunch, but God knew their hearts and their potential. So it's God who guided and directed. As we read the Gospels, we can see the character of many of the disciples as we go through the different books of the Gospels. They seem to work together very well, and some had particular responsibilities. There's a bit of a side here. Judas Iscariot looked after the finances, for instance. Accounts always need somebody with abilities in finance. However, there's a danger that finances are seen as too important and end up by distracting people. Unfortunately, Judas was rather distracted by this idea. Finance should always be subordinate to God's will and plan. In Luke 16, 13, we read, "You cannot serve both God and money." But I think that's another sermon. We'll go out, perhaps explore that another time. To get back to the subject of choosing leaders, we do need God's guidance. We need to pray very much for the APCM. And we also need to have that ongoing training, that on-the-job training. We can't say, "Oh, I know it all." We need to be always seeking more. At the APCM, we elect the PCC members democratically. There's a quote that is attributed to Winston Churchill that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other forms. We do need to pray that God guides our choices. And the fantastic thing about church democracy is hopefully we're all listening to God and therefore doing what he wants of us and not relying on our own ideas. So we need to pray and to seek God's guidance. The passage I'm rather intrigued about is this, the next one in Acts. Just quote verses 2 to 4. "So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.'" Again, that idea of training carries on. They were supposed to be teaching. So the practical issue of handing out food to the different people was delegated to somebody else. In fact, at the APCM, we not only elect the PCC, we also appoint science people. So we're actually looking at this idea of having a wider group that is supporting the main leadership group. But according to Acts, these support people also must be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We're not just pointing anybody to these positions. But I'm rather intrigued that the seven people appointed as deacons didn't restrict themselves to the roles to which they were appointed. I feel rather sorry for the poor person who was trying to write out a rota for these deacons to serve, because they went off and did other things. Stephen, as we discover further along later on in the chapter, went off and started arguing with the rather radical group of Jews. Apostles did not stop him, although it proved very dangerous to the church, as we read on, and actually proved to be fatal to Stephen himself. He became the first Christian martyr. Another one of the seven, Philip, as we read later, disappeared off to Samaria and then to the desert road near Gaza. Philip's supposed to be on this rota and he's gone somewhere. So that seven deacons were appointed by the early church to do practical work, but were then called by God to be evangelists, to do a lot more than they first were appointed to do. I think the lesson from this passage is we should not limit God's plans for people. Certain individuals may have particular roles in the church, but God might have other plans for them as well. The danger is that we try to find people to do particular jobs in the church. I think that's the wrong way around. We ought to be looking at the people and God's calling for them and try and get roles that fit around those callings. It's more difficult to do, though. The most effective approach is to identify God's plans and to look for what he wants. So it must be all done prayerfully and under his direction. So I better finish there. As we approach the APCM today and also the ongoing process of finding a new minister for St. James, we can base our thinking on biblical principles. So I think there's three lessons we can draw. First one is that one person cannot do everything. The church needs a council, at least, but we all need to be involved. When we find the right person to be our vicar, we also need to support them through the church wardens, through the PCC, through the wider roles that we're involved in within the church. Church leaders need to be chosen by God and open to God's guidance. So we must all always do this prayerfully. We need to be praying for the choice of the new minister for the PCC and for the other roles in the church. We need to be finding people who are full of the Holy Spirit. The second lesson that I'm drawing for this is that we need ongoing training. As Christians and members of the church, we need continually learning from God, learning from the Bible. And church leaders in particular should have special training. We need to know the Bible well so we can draw these lessons from it. We also need to be listening to the Holy Spirit and be guided by him and trained by him to move forward. The third lesson is that we should not limit God. We should allow people appointed to roles in the church to do other things as well, as God leads them. We need to be guided by God through the Holy Spirit. Let's finish off. We all need to be like Stephen in verse 5, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. We start there. We'll get follow God's way. Amen.